today on Real Radio.
Wake up, get to the things of your life that's good and strengthen them. What is it in your life that you're doing good, that you're doing right, that honors God? Strengthen your Bible reading, strengthen your prayer time, strengthen your witnessing. So Jack, you always say that. You wanna know why? It keeps you in the mode of strengthening what God has given you as a believer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Sardis, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now known, of course, as modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and also where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening these days. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others call it, well, simply a process of evolution. But one thing is clear. God is indeed speaking to this world, and quite frankly, we need to listen. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Church of Sardis was thriving in a time of compromise and acceptance. Everybody wanted to go there. But God, who looks at our hearts, wants us to examine our intentions and take an account for how we're doing on the inside. Are we watchful, and are we ready to meet our Savior? And now in his message called, My Dear Sardis, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hey, in Sardis, what do you guys say about yourself? Oh, man, we're the church that lives. I need to think about that for a moment. We're the church that lives. If you ask the Sardines today, if you ask them, hey, what kind of church are you? We're alive, man. Can you imagine? They totally thought they were alive. They thought they were cranking it out. Man, we're the church. Jesus says, really? I think you're dead. We're guilty as humans of judging things according to appearance. Oh man, did you hear that worship? That church is alive. You and I may think so, but does Jesus think so? Oh man, did you hear that message? Woo, it felt so good. That was so great. Wow, can't wait till next week. Oh, he made me laugh. Oh, he made me cry. So what? What does Jesus think about it? Was it biblically accurate? Or did it use verses to prop up a story? Did the pastor use verses to get to his main point, which was some analogy about him and his picnic or his vacation? Or I don't know what. These are dangerous, dangerous moments that you and I are living in, the time of compromise. And Sardis had compromised with a wealthy world. It had become very, very comfortable. It was a church that was cool and accepted. Everybody wanted to go there. Anybody could go there. You could go there just as you are and stay just as you are. When you die, you'll be just like you are. Very religious, kind of titillated a little bit about how cool it was and so much love and it was so fun and it was so this, but never born again. Jesus is going to get to this. That's what he's referring to about being dead. He knows. And the word dead here is a creepy word, nekros. It's where we get the word necromancy, the dead. It means actually a dead body. It means a rotting, stinky corpse. Jesus says, I see everything. So imagine every church that you drive by, imagine every church you and I drive by, you and I see it. And what do we say? See, this is a, by the way, this place that I'm speaking to you from, it got an award for being a very beautiful building in the city. It's very beautiful. But if it's dead, it's a very fancy, decked out, coffin. Who wants to hang around a coffin? Nobody wants to hang around a coffin. This church is beautiful on the outside, but is it alive on the inside? Are the people alive on the inside? That's what matters. God is not going to, oh, those are nice date palm trees. Oh, nice orange trees. Oh, nice olive trees. My, that's a nice parking lot. Are you kidding me? And if he looks closer, he doesn't care about our bulletin. He doesn't care about the seats in here. He looks into the heart because he knows all things. He knows all things. In Luke chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." That's when we stand before Christ, when he comes, all the facades are coming down. Look, for those of you who do not live near this area of the world, we can go and visit Universal Studios and all of the props and all, you can walk down the street or go into some city or some town. They've got New York, they've got some other place, and you're walking, looks just like it. And when you walk the tour and then you go behind it and it's all fake. It's all a prop. There's a lot of churches today that are like a prop. They're just very good at what they do. Very organized. I'm not knocking an organization, but it's just wonderful. And I'm not knocking it, but is it alive on the inside? Is the word of God free and loose to do, and the full counsel of God free and loose to do as God pleases? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4, 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Every single non-believer stands before God in the end for judgment before hell. And every believer stands before Christ Jesus before judgment prior to heaven, prior to entering into the glory. Think of that. Number two, mark it down if you would. "My dear Sardis, I've written to you a letter to remind you that I see all things. I not only know all things, I see all things." Verse two says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." Very, very observant and convicting assessment by Jesus. The word watchful, you need to circle this. This is probably, it's not the most important thing about this message, but it's right up there. Watchful. You got to circle the word watchful. Listen to the words of Jesus. He's expecting every church and every Christian to be watchful. There's no excuse for this. And I'm going to submit to you today, it's a very difficult thing to stay watching. It's hard to keep watching. It's hard to stay at attention. A lot of people today are being distracted. My goodness, more now than ever. You can't be distracted and be watchful at the same time. The word watchful means this: to keep yourself awake. It means to literally or figuratively keep yourself awake, to be vigilant, alert, and in the state of watchfulness, to stay awake when you want to sleep. Jack, I'm tired. Jesus hasn't come back yet. My wife left me. My husband left me. My kids left me. My parents left me. I'm so tired. Stand up. Take a deep breath. Wake up. Be watchful. Wake up yourself. Listen, I'm doing better, way better now, but at some time, many of you know, I went through about 3.5 years of pretty severe insomnia. And I was talking to a friend of mine who is in U.S. Special Forces. And I was asking him about staying awake and how do you cope with it? He goes, "Well, first of all, I wasn't, 60 years old. I was 24 years old. So that's a big difference, Jack. But also this," he said, "there were times when we were in such a critical situation that to fall asleep would mean we would die. And we've been up for 3 days. 3 days. I said, "How'd you stay awake?" He goes, "Listen, are you ready for this? I don't know if this is standard issue. I don't know if this was his trick. But this special ops soldier said, I had Tabasco in my backpack. You know Tabasco, the hot sauce? He said, I'd put Tabasco in each eye. He says, it feels like your brain's on fire. That'll keep you awake." I couldn't believe it. What would you do to keep yourself awake at such a critical moment? When temptation is all over the way that it is, the fear of loss of income, loss of hope, the darkness of the hour, spiritual issues being debated, and it looks like the church has been written off and kicked off to the side. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Don't become weary. This is what we were taught to be ready for. Be watchful. The Christian church is to be watchful. And when a church is not watchful, it begins to die. according to Jesus. He says, strengthen. Strengthen those things. The word strengthen means to go all around. This is a great word. Watch. To go all around and prop up, strengthen up, shore up what is right in your life, what's good. Build up, strengthen. Because everything's crumbling, but wake up, get to the things of your life that's good and strengthen them. What is it in your life that you're doing good, that you're doing right, that honors God? Strengthen your Bible reading. Strengthen your prayer time. Strengthen your witnessing. So, Jack, you always say that. You want to know why? It keeps you watchful, and it keeps you in the mode of strengthening what God has given you as a believer. To lean back, to set back, to fold, a little folding of the hands, a little folding of the arms. The Bible warns us in the book of Proverbs, and we fall asleep. We fall asleep. I remember years ago getting hit in the head. And you say, well, that's what's wrong with you. Jack, you got hit in the head. I got a concussion in football, and I remember going to the hospital and then going home. And I remember my parents being told by the emergency room doctor, he's got to stay awake. You can't let him fall asleep for so many hours. I don't know what it was. He cannot fall asleep. And I remember it was a painful time because you didn't understand what's going on. And to be aroused like that, to be constantly prodded. So my mom and dad, hey, stay awake, stay awake. Get up, let's walk, move, do that. That's kind of like the job of a pastor. Come on, get up, move, breathe, breathe. Get your arms out, take in some air, let's go. Church, let's move. Come on, stay awake, let's go. What happens when the pastor falls asleep? When the watchman that's on the wall falls asleep? The entire city is now compromised by one man sleeping at his post. And I fear that across America today, there are pastors that are standing in the pulpit, but they're asleep at their post. God is saying, wake up, strengthen what remains. And the word remain here is an amazing word. It means things that matter. Strengthen those things that matter. And this is also, listen, this is fascinating because the word usage that Jesus applies to all the seven churches, it's very, very, what's the word? Technicolor to Sardis. Very, very brilliantly seen by the dwellers are the sardines. Can I call them sardines that live there? I'm sure that's not what you call them, but it works. Very colorful to them. Why? Because they knew their history. They knew their past. They knew it. It was in the books, but they had forgotten it. Before I tell you this, Tacitus, the great Roman historian, probably one of the greatest ever, Tacitus writes, and I'm quoting, in the same year of 17 AD, 12 famous cities in the province of Asia were overwhelmed by an earthquake. Its occurrence at night increased the surprise and destruction. Listen to this. Open ground, the usual place for refuge on such occasions, afforded no escape. Because the earth parted and opened up and swallowed the fugitives. There are reports of mountains subsiding, of flat ground rising up high into the air, of fires bursting up and out among the debris. Sardis suffered worst and attracted most sympathy. That's from Tacitus Annals 2:47. Earthquake shook Sardis, the ground opened up, the people running out of Sardis was swallowed up in the fissures of the earth that cracked open, and according to Tacitus reports, mountains crumbled and ground level rose. By the way, I'm not joking, in Southern California, there's been numerous earthquakes in the past where dust, you could see dust rising off of we have great mountains very close to here, very high, and dust rose from those mountains as they sank 6 inches in one of the earthquakes. I don't know if it was Sylmar or Northridge, but the mountains sank 6 inches from their sheer weight during the shaking. Remarkable. Jesus says, you are ready to die. That they remembered the earthquake that came in the middle of the night and got them. The church ready to die. What do you do with things that are ready to die? You pull the plug, or you get it resuscitated somehow. A lot of churches die. Some of them should die, to be quite honest with you. They're not founded on the word. They're not praying. They're not witnessing. They should die. I learned from my pastor years ago, if something is dying, let it die. Don't prop up. Look, if your friend dies, bury him. Don't drive around town with him because you're going to miss your friend. He's dead. If something's dying, let it die. If it's time for it to go, let it go. There's a lot of churches in Asia Minor. Jesus only spoke to 7 of them. There's other churches there. Colossae's one of them. The church in Hierapolis was another. What became of them? Listen, when a church begins to die, please write this down. When a church begins to die, it dies the same way a nation dies. It dies the same way a company dies. It dies the same way a family dies. It dies the same way a marriage dies. It dies the same way faith dies. Listen to this. A church dies only after it goes through this cycle. And this is true for business. A work is started with a man. Then it goes into a movement. Then because of success, it has a method. Writes books. This is how we did it. You can do it too. Then it becomes a monument. This is the place where this lesson so happened. And then it becomes a memorial. Do you remember that church? It used to be so powerful. Do you remember that church? It used to be so effective. Do you remember that church? What about the Christian? Do you remember that Christian that used to be so influential? What about the love and what about this? Oh, you know what? They used to be a man of God. They got into the movement. God used them. And then they got into the stride and they were just trekking along. And then they woke up to the fact that they'd become a monument. Just something that it was talked about the past, and then it's memorialized. You memorialize dead things. And a dying church is a very, very easy thing to have happen because it happens to all things unless they're resurrected. A dying or dead church is very, listen, self-centered. You judge your church where you attend and put yourself in there, by the way. I have to put myself in here, by the way. How do you know a church is dying? It's self-centered. In other words, they're very proud about themselves. They're an amazing church. They can't understand why anybody else would go to some other church when they're the church. I've heard pastors talk like that. I can't believe they don't go to our church. Have you ever been on a Friday night out and decide to eat dinner? Have you noticed that Burger King is packed? In-N-Out Burger is packed? The Habit is packed? Colonel Sanders is packed? The pizza parlor's packed. People have different diets. Not everyone's going to come to your church. Okay? They're not supposed to. The word of God goes out in different venues to different people to hear the word of God. The church is not one geographical location. But the church becomes impressed with itself. It gets self-centered. It gets impressed with itself. As I said, it gets self-content. Yeah, we'll meet with you. We'll tell you how we did it. We'll tell you how to do it. That's a scary thing. And then it becomes self-promoting. That's one of the last throes of a dying church. Spend more money on advertising. Spend more money to get out the name. We've got to get the name propped up. We got to get fluorescent green lettering. We got to get bigger lighting. Get our name higher up on the building. No, that's wrong. It's wrong. That's when the flesh takes over. We are to be watchful. We're to be strengthening. And we are to be careful. Look to remember, for I have not found your works perfect or complete before God. He says, remember therefore how you have received. Wow, the word how. Remember therefore how you received, not what you received. It's amazing. It means that they knew the truth. They received it. They had forgotten how they received it. It means this. Do you remember when you were absolutely terrified and lost and shaking because of your sin-filled condition? Yes. Do you remember how the word of God came to you and rescued you? Yes. And do you remember the peace and the change that came into your life? Yes. Good. Keep remembering that. And I got to tell you, I'm telling you right now, please hear this right. I text some of our staff members studying this, and I said, I'm so convicted right now. And I want you to listen, because maybe this describes a part of you. I wrote it to myself. I wrote this note to myself when it said, remember, the key is remembering what God had done in the past. So I wrote to myself, I'm almost speechless regarding this. My life has been spoiled by the goodness of God. From the day I got saved, my Christian experience, yes, it was up and down and difficult and hard, and I thought, I'm saved one day and not the next, and yes, all that dynamic, just like you, all of that dynamic. But my Christian experience has been more than two lifetimes for me. From evangelist Greg Laurie having preached the gospel of Christ to me and getting saved, to immediately going under the teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, who raised me up in the doctrines of God. By the way, in the midst of all that, having gotten saved and going to Bible study under Pastor Chuck Smith, God brought my wife to me, who's been a helpmate and a guide and a great supporter for the last 41 years of marriage. And from the men who discipled me and loved me, who I got to know by name, first name basis, Dr. David Hawking, Chuck Missler, Tim LaHaye, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, Dr. John Wolverd, and the people that I've met and the places that I've gone, the ministries that have come out from the work here, all around the world. And I wrote to myself, my heart sings over these things that God has done. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Woe unto me if I forget the things that God has done in my life. And what about you? You want to arouse yourself to being awake? Go back, stop, and get out a pen and a piece of paper and start writing. This is what I have to do. I've got to start going back and writing down the last 45 years as a Christian and what things God has done in my life. I could write a book to myself. See, the last thing you want to be is a pew potato or a clock watcher. There's always, I see them, not now, we don't have people in here anymore, but always at every service, there's people. If I go past 30 minutes, which is, I've never gone under 30 minutes, but people who are new, they'll go like this. They'll just go like this. And sometimes they'll go like this, and they make sure I see it, which doesn't go over well. Now, you know what? We want 30-minute church, and we want 2 hours at the theater. Give me 30-minute church and give me all day at Disneyland. Give me 30-minute church and let's do this instead. No, that's the sound, that's the action of a dead person. That's the way of the dead. God loves his church.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In his message called, My Dear Sardis, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening today, and let's make the most of our days here on earth and choose today to get right with the Lord. My Dear Sardis, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church. It's a series taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches, and also what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if this message about the church at Sardis has got you thinking about your own life and your standing with God, we'd like to help. You know, God knows everything about you, and he's going to keep prodding at your heart while there's still time for you to make a change in the right direction. You're not here by accident. That's the truth. God loves you so much that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. If you'd like to learn more, go to our website. That's jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God, that's spelled K-N-O-W, God, and once you're there, we're confident you'll find the message of hope and salvation that you're looking for. So be sure to visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.